Good morning, everybody. Good to see you. If I haven't met you yet, I'm Brian. I'm the lead pastor here at Two Rivers. And what a great day to be in God's presence and with one another. And we've got a really fun month that we've been planning for a while now. Today is kind of the kickoff of some anniversary celebrations that we're doing. And so we have a number of things that are going on today. Most notably, after the service, we're going to have a cake reception. Kelly Berg, way to go, Kelly. I think she went back with her kids again. I don't know where she went, but Kelly made some cakes. And so after the service, we invite you to stick in there. Hey, there you are, Kelly. And there's some cake in the hallway. We've got some extra coffee, some lemonade, and just a way to celebrate God's goodness with that. But we're actually going to be celebrating some more over the next couple weeks as well. Next Sunday is going to be a big Sunday. We have some very, very special guests, some dear friends of ours that are going to be here with us. Mario and Letty Santillan are the pastors of La Viña in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. It's a partner church that we do mission trips at every year. So 6 years now we've been doing that. We've gone to them a bunch of times. They're coming here next weekend, and so you guys get a chance to meet them. Mario's going to share a little bit during the message about what's going on in Puerto Vallarta, how our partnership with them is making a difference, and also just share an encouraging word to us on our 10th anniversary. After the service, even some more things, we're going to have a potluck picnic lunch over at Turtlelet Park at one of the shelters down there. So it's just down the hill, take Madison and then Broad Street to Turtlelet Park. And also with that, we have a sister Hispanic congregation. Some of you may not know that. There's a Spanish-speaking congregation that's a sister congregation that meets here on Sunday afternoons. They're going to join us for the morning worship service and then also join us for lunch. So it's going to be a great multicultural event. We'll sing in Spanish, translate a little bit. You know, you can try and follow along. It'll be really fun. So that's next Sunday. So please plan for that. It'll be a really, really great time. And then on the 27th, we're going to have our first pancake breakfast. So college students love that. We do that a couple times a semester. That'll be starting at 9 a.m., and then we'll finish up some more fun, special things during the service that day. So that's kind of the plan. Again, we hope you can join us for as many of those times of celebration as possible. Feel free to bring a friend along, and we'll just have a good time celebrating God's goodness. Before I get into the main point of my mission, portion of my message, I want to just share a couple things that have been reverberating in my heart and mind this week. It's been quite a week. You know, I've been thinking about just all that's happened over the last 10 years, this crazy adventure of starting a church from scratch, and just a lot. And so I just want to share a couple of those things, then I've got another special item before I get into the main part of my message. The first thing that just been really sticking with me this week is a little passage in Matthew 19, in this ministry interaction, Jesus says this statement, this bold statement saying, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And I've been thinking a lot about that this week, about just the miracle of something brand new that didn't exist before, getting started, and the amazing nature of God's faithfulness and all that. I want to have a little nostalgia here. I have some pictures for you. So this first set of pictures is from an outreach event that we did actually two months before our official grand opening. In July 2005, we had about 30 friends that came down for the weekend for the Fun Days Parade weekend. And at the time, our church was about a dozen people. And so we had felt this push from God to start public services into this fall, that fall. And we're like, how is that going to happen? And so all these friends came. We put on a float. We had some friends come and play music. And we handed out water. I'm going to point this out. You guys know.
See who that is?
That's Franny. Yeah, and so there's Ruth. Ruth right there. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else you can point out. And so this is 10 years ago. Who's this young guy right there? I don't know. Who is? That was about 25 pounds earlier, you know? There you go. And then we had a sneak preview service the day before. Oh, the nostalgia, right? So Lack of air conditioning, right? Yeah, so for the first 5.5 years of our church, we met at Lincoln Community Center. We set up and tore down every single weekend, and it was quite the journey. But 10 years ago this weekend, we began public services every single week. And, you know, Jesus said, he said, I will build my church. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen? Amen. And so over the last decade, we've experienced God's faithfulness in countless ways, that this was God's idea, not ours, to start this church, and he has been faithful. And we are really, really, really thankful for that. So that's the first thought. I just thinking, God, you are amazing. Thank you, God. The other thing right along that, with that, that's been sticking with me so much this week, I've been getting kind of emotional on this quite a bit of times. On a practical level, you don't make it to 10 years as a new church without a bunch of amazing people. Amen? A bunch of amazing people. And that's been the biggest theme that's been running through my heart and mind this week. I'm so humbled. I'm so thankful for all the people that have poured their lives into Two Rivers Vineyard Church over this last decade. And so I've got a few more pictures. There's a good old Aaron Bartell, right? You know? So this is what we did every single week for 5.5 years. So we'd cart stuff in. There's Ethan right there. He's a little bigger now. And so we had this storage closet of things. Yeah, exactly. There's the thing. Okay, and yes, there was a goat behind us. Okay, so the story behind this is we shared space with the local community theater. And so about 3 times a year, they would have a play. And so the backdrops to our worship setting would change kind of every season. And this one, we had a goat. So, I mean, isn't that the most worshipful experiences you can ever think of? Like, God, you're so good, and there's a goat. the unique experiences of starting a church, you know, all that type of stuff. And so, man, I just want to say thanks. For you guys that are kind of long-timers, I just want to say this really specific. I've been thinking a lot this week about the amount of sacrifice and investment that it takes, that's taken, to build something that didn't exist before. And frankly, it would have been much easier for many of you to go to a church that was already established. But somehow, God said, this is where you're supposed to be. You said yes. You kept saying yes. And now 10 years later, here we are, you know. And we're able to share the goodness of God with more and more people every single week. And so I just want to say thanks. Thank you for investing your lives in that. You've laid down your lives so that more and more people can enjoy the fruit of your labors. Just amazing. You know, for those of you who are newer, I really want to have you encourage you to kind of take note of this, particularly if you felt like God's leading you or has led you here just recently to Two Rivers, to be thankful for the foundation that others have laid. I mean, isn't it good that you can come to a church that some other people said, like, hey, this is worth pouring my life into, and now you just get to show up, you know, and be a part of it. But the story isn't done. I mean, this is where it goes. Like, we're just 10 years in. God's got so much more in store. And so even though those that are new, you're going to be laying foundations for people and things that are going to happen way down the road. Now, think about some of you college students. You were in elementary school when we started this church. You know, you're probably still watching cartoons for the most part, you know? still do, yeah. Maybe that's true. But, you know, 10 years ago, some people went into this so that you could have a place that you could belong to while you're at school. Pretty amazing. Let's keep pressing in, seeing what God's going to do over the long haul. I'm going to get past that that goat picture. Okay, I got one more special item, and then I'll get into the main part of my message. This Sunday and then into the next 2 Sundays, we're actually going to have some special greetings that are coming via video from some dear friends both near and far. Okay? And so, Grace, why don't you cue up this first video, and let's watch this together.
Hey, Two Rivers Vineyard, Phil Stroud here. We're just very excited, and we wanted to also chime in here with your celebration that you're doing. We're pretty proud of you guys. And Brian, I've known for a while now, and just watched how he's pastored and helped serve there. And you guys are just great. And congratulations on 10 years. You know, starting out a little small group and taking steps and moving forward and gathering people and there in the Midwest. And, you know, I understand that. I'm from small town America myself, and we're just proud of you guys. And we wanted to send along a word to say that congratulations. We're thrilled you're part of the Association of Vineyard Churches, Vineyard Community. We've just celebrated a great global family celebration this past summer, and it's a great time just watching churches multiply, and we're just glad churches like yours become pillars in a movement like this. Just steady, strong, loving Jesus, loving people. There's nothing like it. So to all of you there at Two River Vineyard, congratulations. We love you guys. Enjoy your time.
Hi, my name is Brenda Gatlin, and I'm the Midwest North Regional Leader, and I'm here to celebrate with you guys this month your 10-year anniversary as a community of faith. It is a milestone. It's a great time to look back and to see all the things that God has accomplished through your lives, through your community, through all of your efforts. You've been on mission there in Mankato to bring the kingdom of God to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to the places where God has put you, where you live in your community. And you've been doing that. You've been doing that well. And it's so exciting just to see how God has established a really good Vineyard Church. Being part of the Vineyard Tribe is a unique and special thing for all of us. And you guys are accomplishing what God put you there to do. And so thank you for shining like a light and being hope to your community and coming alongside of Brian and Andrea and their family for all of these years. And I know that you guys have many more years to come and that you will accomplish great things in the kingdom of God. God bless you.
Hi, Two Rivers Vineyard. This is Dave Jacobs of Small Church Pastor. I coach pastors, and I've been working with Pastor Brian for a number of years now. He's a great pastor. You've got a great leadership team. You're a great church. And I just wanted to send you this short greeting and say congratulations on your 10-year anniversary. You have every reason to celebrate, and I believe every reason to expect that this coming year is going to be even more fruitful. So let's keep praying, let's keep our eyes on Jesus, and let's keep up the good work.
Good morning, Two Rivers Vineyard Church and Pastors Brian and Andrea Brinkert. I am so excited on behalf of New Creation Church here in North Mankato just to give a general greeting and celebrate with you for 10 years of being a local church ministry here in the greater Mankato area. Wow, what an accomplishment and what a feat that God has allowed you to do and to build His kingdom right here. On behalf of our church to your church, we want to say, as we are part of the same body, that we are cheering you on, we are for you, and we are praying for you. Even in our service today, we're thankful for everything that you guys are doing as we co-labor together. Pastor Brian, I want to personally say to you, I love your heart of humility and your being a champion for unity. And I know that has just been an awesome thing to just co-labor alongside of you. So again, God bless you guys for the last 10, and keep pushing for the next 10 and even beyond. Have a great day, a great celebration, and may the Lord richly bless you all.
We looked for a church for a really long time, and we just couldn't find one where we fit in and felt welcome. But I'll tell you, Brian and Andrea, they just loved us and took us in.
All right. Hey, Brian and Andrea and everybody at Two Rivers Vineyard, we love you guys. We are so happy to have been a part of the start of that church. And all those great days of just the five of us in your living room, precious memories. And we love you guys. God bless you on your 10th anniversary.
Amen.
Fun. Yeah, Joe and Denise had to put a little flair in there. They're actually going to be here next weekend. So some of you that go way, way back, Joe and Denise were part of the original team that helped us start. And Ruth Frederick and her family way back then. And so really, really, really fun stuff. So. And hey, I just want to give a shout out to Matt Grahams. Matt's helping to pull these video clips together all in one video. And so really, really special. Cool. Well, as we get into our main message, I think of what author Patrick Lencioni often says in his leadership seminars. He says that people often need to be reminded more than they need to be instructed. And I think that's important for this morning. Because if you're new to Two Rivers, if you're new around here, a bunch of things I'm going to say this morning probably will be new to you. And so that'll be great. It'll be wonderful for you to just catch some of our heart and understand who we are as a church. For them, some of you have been around a long time. A lot of what I'm going to say today you've heard before. If you've been around for 10 years, I was just at the core of who we are as a church. And the encouraging thing with that is that the mission that God has given us as a church from its very start is still the mission that we're pursuing today. And, you know, when we have a worthy goal that we set our sights on, you don't have to find a new goal. You know, when we have a mission that's worth pursuing, we just continue to give ourselves to that. And, you know, if the mission that Jesus had was good enough for him, it's good enough for us. Amen? Amen. Okay, and so with all that in mind, I want to just share with you this story as we begin. A story that goes all the way back to 2002. You know, we're marking today the 10-year anniversary of Two Rivers beginning regular public services in 2005, but actually a few years before that, in 2002, Andrea and I were living in Cedar Rapids, Iowa at the time. Andrea was a stay-at-home mom with our girls, and they were babies and toddlers at the time. I was working full-time in sales at an internet software company in Cedar Rapids, and we were also pastoring part-time at the Vineyard Church there, which we'd helped start that back in 1998. Well, in May of 2002, one day I was taking some time to pray and journal, and I felt like God interrupted that prayer time, and I sensed him encouraging me to ask a question. Ever had God ask you a question or asking you to ask a question? I had a whole list of things that I wanted to pray about, but I felt like God was saying, Brian, why don't you ask me about church planting, about starting a new church? That wasn't necessarily a new topic for me. Andrea and I had a sense from the early days when we had met and gotten married that, you know, that we might be involved in starting new churches. We were involved in our new church right then. We had this vague sense that we might be the point people for a new church start eventually, but we thought, man, that's going to be way off in the future someday. But I felt like God put that on my heart to ask, and so I asked. So pretty much verbatim, I said, well, God, do you have anything to say about church planting? And to my surprise, it seemed like God had lots to say. And not just about the subject in general, but more specifically about plans that God had for us sooner rather than later, about Andrea and I picking up our lives, moving to a new community, and seeing a new church start. And so that very night, I was journaling, and I couldn't sleep. I just, like, there was so much. The best way I can describe it was like, somebody turned on the fire hydrant, and like it didn't quit. God just kept pouring out just vision and passion and ideas. And for 2 or 3 hours, I wrote and I wrote and I wrote all these ideas of what God might do with us, laying out dreams that were on my heart to see an authentic community of faith birth in a new place. And eventually I stopped for the night, and I was able to get back to sleep. But this interaction with God, it continued for about 3 weeks, you know, just day after day. Sometimes middle of the night, other times during the day, where I opened up this question, God, do you have anything to say? And he did. He began to pour out all this vision and these ideas. You know, I was opening up this door to this vast horizon of dreams that God had been storing up, and now he was starting to unveil those dreams to me and inviting me and us into something brand new. It's really precious. One of the key pieces that came during those frantic times of journaling was a spiritual metaphor. As I prayed, this metaphor started to come. At the core, what I desired for God to do, start a new church, was to see people's lives changed, like really changed, transformed. I mean, like, does a city like Mankato or any other city, like, just need another religious organization? You know, no. But is there a great need in our city, in every city, for the life that really only can come through connecting with Jesus? Absolutely. And that's what God started to pour out into me. And so this spiritual metaphor started to came as I started to think about how Jesus changed lives. This picture of two rivers came into my mind. It hit me. This is how Jesus does it. This is how Jesus does it. This is how he transforms people's lives. There's like these two rivers, this river of power and this river of truth. As Jesus interacted with people, he did works of power and he spoke words of truth to people. And somehow it was like the joining of those two things, the intersection of those two things was so often where the breakthrough came and where people's lives were changed forever. And I don't know how to describe it, but in those short moments, I knew that that was what we were supposed to do. Like that was it. That picture of these two rivers of power and truth coming together, that was what we were supposed to do. We're supposed to welcome people into this experience of Jesus' power and experience of his truth. And that through that ongoing interaction, that there would be however many people that God would bring us and that we would interact with, that would be touched and that would see their lives changed because of Jesus' power and truth. And so during that time, I felt like God started to lay this name of Two Rivers Vineyard Church, on my heart. The interesting thing about that is that we didn't actually have a clear sense of where we were going to go yet. At the time, in the midst of journaling, I thought we might end up in a smaller Midwestern city, hopefully like in a college, university area. You know, as we got a little farther into the investigating the possibilities, Mankato was one of the cities that kept coming up. And it was eventually kept moving more and more to the top of the list. But one day I was actually doing a little research about Mankato. And I don't know if I'd ever done this before, but I finally ended up looking at a map of Mankato. And, like, I was just dumbfounded. I'm like, holy cow, there's two rivers that meet at the base of this city. And, you know, just the history that that has of the way that that had been a key thing for this city being settled and, you know, the Blue Earth and the Minnesota River joining at the base of Mankato. And there was a whole bunch of other confirmations that led us to say that, yes, this is where God is leading us. That geographic connection really was just an add-on to what God had already spoken to us about these two rivers of Jesus' power and truth impacting people's lives over and over as much as we could see happen. You know, through the years, I don't know how many times I've told that basic story, but it's still emotional to me. It's still exciting to me. Like I still sign up today, you know? Like, this is what I've given my life to. And I'm so grateful that there's so many of you that said, I'm in too. Let's go at this together. Let's let God work in our lives with the power and the truth of Jesus. And let's extend that to others. So, man, what a great day to celebrate everything God's doing, all that he's done so far, and to look forward to everything that God has ahead. I just want to touch on a couple scriptures and a few questions as we go at our time this morning. Thinking about these two rivers, rivers of truth and power. We'll turn to this in Luke chapter 7. It's a scene where John the Baptist is preparing the way. That's kind of his role, and he's not quite sure what's going to happen. And the disciples of John the Baptist, it says in Luke 7, told John about everything Jesus started to do. And so John called for two of his disciples. He sent them to the Lord to ask them, are you the Messiah that we've been expecting? Or should we keep looking for someone else? Again, John the Baptist, he's baptizing people. He's preaching this message. And he's wondering, Jesus, are you the real deal? Are you the one that we are waiting for? And that was such an important question to people in that day. As a first century Jew, the Jewish people had been waiting hundreds, even thousands of years for this promise of a Messiah, a deliverer to come, that would come and rescue God's people. And John the Baptist is wondering, Jesus, are you it? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? And I think for us here in our day, that maybe there's a similar way that we ask that same kind of question, that we wonder, like, Jesus, are you the real deal? Are you really who you say you are? You know, maybe another way to put that, like, is God really able to change our lives, like radically change our lives? And how does that happen? And I think, again, I was driving over this morning and thinking again about our city, our area, and the scores of people that have no meaningful connection with spiritual life that's really life-giving, you know? No connection to Jesus, no connection to a great group of people. And, you know, how many people are wondering, like, is that church thing, is it just a bunch of hoops to jump through? Like, what's it worth, you know? But maybe deep down, like, there's question, like, what if there's something real? This ache of what if there really is something behind all of that? Like, that's why we exist, to help you and to help others to connect with this power and truth of Jesus. That's what we want to go at. So back to this story. Verse 21, Jesus gives an answer to John's disciples. At the very time, Jesus cured many people of their various diseases. He cast out evil spirits and restored sight to the blind. And then Jesus told John's disciples this: go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the deaf hear, and the dead are raised to life. The good news is being preached to the poor. So if you look at Jesus' life and ministry, these two things stand out. First, there was this powerful stuff that was happening all over the place, everywhere Jesus went. The blind seeing, the lame walking, people being set free from demonic influence, spiritual oppression. I mean, the dead being raised, power from heaven breaking in to the people's experience here on earth. That was one end. The other end is that Jesus spoke these words of truth. Good news, he said. It's good news, particularly that those that know that they need it. You know, the poor there is not just economically poor. It's the poor in spirit. Anybody that would have the courage to say, I need help. That's good news to us all. Here's the way the gospel writer Luke summarizes what Jesus was about in one sentence. He says this: the crowds followed out where Jesus was going, and they followed him. Jesus welcomed them, teaching them about the kingdom of God and curing those who were ill. You look through multiple places. I could go through this for an hour. All these different places in the Gospels, you see these two rivers combining in Jesus' life and intersecting with the lives of real people that had needs. Sometimes Jesus spoke words of truth first, and then did works of power, and then other times it was the other way around. But those two angles intersected, and that's how people's lives were changed. Jesus spoke words of truth. He did works of power over and over. That's how he changed lives. That's how he did it then. This crazy thing, like, I was thinking about this week. You know, this church, again, it was God's idea, not mine. but at the core, you know, the idea is that Jesus is still alive. He's still changing lives, and he's invited us to be a part of that. And so he welcomes us into that. I've got three questions, sets of questions I want to just put before us as we finish up today. We're thinking about this core mission of the rivers of truth and power joining in our lives and in the lives of others. And so here's the first set of questions I want to give you. How have you experienced the power and truth of Jesus in your life? And how has that changed you? How has that changed your life? One of the things that I was challenged by God a lot this week, I live in the future a lot. I'm a planner. Like, you know, I think like 2-3 steps ahead and trying to get everything together so it can get to the right spot, both in my personal life and, you know, as a leader in our church. And so it's challenging for me to stop and to look back. But it's so good, right? I mean, somebody challenged with that as well? Like, where you remember to look back and to recall the different things that God's done in your life. Helps us to be grateful and often leads us to worship, right? So we remember how good God is. Leads us to yielding to God in a brand new way. saying, God, like, you are so good. I think about my own life, like how God took this small town Iowa kid full of self-righteousness and pride, self-sufficiency, you know, people-pleasing, lust, a whole bunch of different things. And how over the last 30 years, he's been freeing me by the power and truth of Jesus. I don't know, like, literally where my life would be if Jesus hadn't intervened in the way. I don't want to know where my life would have been. But it's good. And what's your story? What's your story? How have you experienced the power and truth of Jesus breaking into your life and just changing things? As I look through and think back on the past 10 years of our church, I just think about scores of people. You know, we pray for people every single week here. And the number of weeks and the times during small groups and other places where we pray and God shows up and he changes things. Where people get set free from patterns that they've been stuck in for years. Bodies being healed. Relationships being restored. Folks finding life and freedom and hope and direction that they never had before. Friends, that's what the church is about. Amen? Amen. And so, what's your story? I was thinking this week about one of my favorite stories over this last year. A number of you Gusties remember Colin Rieke, right? Colin's graduated. I spent a lot of time with Colin this past year. About last fall, to Colin's own admission, he started coming to Two Rivers regularly. He'd come a few times before, but he started coming every Sunday. And you know, looking back on it now, last fall, he said, you know, I don't know if I would have considered, he's saying this, he would have considered himself a follower of Jesus. Like, he knew a lot about Jesus. He had been to church, but like that full yielding of, like, Jesus, I'm all in, you know, that hadn't really happened. Colin studied philosophy in college, and so he's a truth seeker. And so it was so fun over the number of months to see him ask questions, see him reading the Bible, and just reading the words of Jesus and trying to figure out what that meant for his life and the progression of that just starting to change him. And some powerful things too. I mean, just amazing, crazy stuff. Colin's living in Rochester now, and he's still sorting out some details, but as of right now, he's leading towards either going to some kind of seminary or training school next fall to pursue a life in ministry. Isn't that crazy? You know? Here's this guy. Jesus intersected in his life. Powerful things started to happen. A lot of stories. What's your story of experiencing Jesus' power and truth? Here's the second set of questions I want to give us. How do you need to experience that power and truth right now? How do you need Jesus' power and truth? What are areas in your life right now that need that tangible touch of God's power and truth? You know, sometimes when we've been in church a long time, I don't think we really think this, but we act like this, that sometimes that we graduate from God's grace. We just think, oh yeah, that happened way long ago, and now I'm just helping other people. Friends, we need it every day, right? We need Jesus' power and truth to intervene in us all the time. How do you need that? How do you need that? Maybe some of you are here today, and maybe you wouldn't consider yourself a follower of Jesus. Maybe you're investigating the claims of Christianity, investigating who Jesus is. And first of all, I just say thanks for being here. Thanks for taking a step to walk into a weird environment like a church, you know, and to think about these things. And I just want to encourage you, like, to go down that journey, investigate, ask really good questions. Do like my friend Colin did. Start reading the words of Jesus. Start asking, like, what does he really mean? I mean, there's some bold things that Jesus said. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. That's a challenging statement in our day and age, right? What do you think of that? What are you going to do with that? We'd love to walk alongside you. Be helpful. We're not here to coerce anybody into anything. But here's what we've done. So many of us have found that Jesus is the best thing going. That's the understatement of the century. There's no one like him. And we'd love to help you to learn more about him and to connect with him in a greater, greater way. So again, I mean, what did you come in with this morning? Where are those pressure points in your life right now where you just know, I need Jesus today. I need his power and truth today like never before. Friends, you can ask for that. You can seek him. And he's so faithful to pour that out to us. Here's a final set of questions that we want to ask. Thinking about the past, thinking about our present, but also who else around us? Who else around you needs the power of truth in Jesus in their lives right now? And how might God be inviting you to extend his power and truth to them? Again, you know, I love this metaphor of, you know, that people dying of thirst, finding an oasis or a well. That's what it's like, you know, for us in our spiritual journey. None of us earned it. None of us created our own water. We found a well that never runs dry, and his name is Jesus. And so what we do is we just welcome people and say, are you thirsty? Let me show you a well that can quench that thirst. And that's another reason why this whole theme of Two Rivers hits home for us. It's in realizing that Jesus' power and truth are not meant only to come to us, but they're meant to come through us. Major point in Jesus' ministry, he released his followers to go and to do the very same things that he was doing, right? You know, Luke 9 says he began their circuit of the villages. They began and they were preaching the good news and they were healing the sick. The very same things that Jesus was doing, he gave to them. He gave to 12. He gave to 72. He gave to the 120 in the book of Acts. And then all the way up, now 2,000 years later, we have the same mission to give away the power and truth of Jesus to anyone that's willing. Friends, it's our dream. It's our dream here at Two Rivers that we want to be a community where people can authentically experience what we're talking about today, this amazing, life-changing power and truth of Jesus. It doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, how you think about yourself. Jesus welcomes anyone that turns to him and loves to let you know that he is real. He's able to work in your life. We just want to let you can connect with him here. It can happen. He's real and alive, and we believe he longs to be powerfully active in each of our lives. And it's fun that we get to go at this together, right? And so, you know, we will hope to be a growing group of people who are empowered and released by Jesus to extend that kind of ministry, get invited to continue that, used by God to bring his power and truth to others, and seeing their lives impacted as well. So that's what we've been doing for the last 10 years. We're going to do that for the next 10 years after that. And, you know, as long as God gives us breath and strength, we'll just keep doing it, you know. And there'll be new ways that we'll express that and new ways that we'll go at that. But the core of it is the same. It's what Jesus did 2,000 years ago. It's what he gave us to his disciples. It's what he gave to us. And he gave this idea to say, Mankato, there's some people. Greater Mankato, St. Peter, New Ulm, Good Thunder, all those different places. I'm working there, God says. He says, why don't you join me? That's what we've answered. We're going to continue to do that. Amen. Amen.